All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 155. I am here with Deborah. It is October 6th in the year 2022.
Hard to believe, but
yeah, we're moving right along. We're getting into fall, and it's hot as balls here.
It's hot here too today.
Yeah, it's been warm and dry. I'm looking forward to a little bit of rain. I know I'll be eating those words in a few months. But, yeah, we're at that weird spot, you know, in the 40s in the morning, and then it's in the 80s in the afternoon. So heat in the morning, AC in the afternoon. Well, what have you been up to? I think I know the answer, but let's hear it from your mouth.
Okay, today was gym day. Got home from the gym, grabbed my dog.
What did you work? Glutes? Traps?
Kind of everything.
Buys?
Everything, yeah.
Curls for the girls.
Curls for the girls. Yep. Planks for the Yanks.
Skanks.
And et cetera. And yeah. Then Cubby and I went out, had a very nice walk along Gibberon. Along the bay, and came home, did a little yard work, got all the debris out of my hair from trimming vines, and here I am.
Fantastic.
It was a good day.
Yeah,
so
I went
far.
Out, I went out, cut a bunch of firewood, and then I, it was a chainsaw day. Cut a bunch of limbs off the trees,
uh-huh.
In the chicken run, and then went out in the workshop and worked on a workbench.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, we got 8 new little hens. So we got rid of 8 old ones, drove them down, gave them to some Mexican guy, and then the next day, yesterday, we went and got 8 new ones. So they're about 5 months old. I don't know if some of them might be layings, but I don't know if they are or not yet, but they're good ones. I'm excited. Uh-huh.
Are they a particular breed that you like, or?
Well, they are, both of them are, they're crosses. So uh-huh. They're a cross between the white leghorn and the Rhode Island red.
Uh-huh.
So one is called Issa Brown, like ISA Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones are Novigen. So they're both supposed to be pretty prolific layers, 300 plus eggs a year. So
wow, okay,
that's what we're looking for. Short production life, 2 years or so, but high production. So yeah.
Alrighty.
And yeah, they've been, it's hard to get them trained into going into the chicken coop because they got to like go in a door and then they got to go up a ladder once they get in the door. So these ones have been roosting out in a tree. And that was the first night I brought them in. And the second last night, they were too high up and the tree was all like had branches all the way down and it was overgrown. So today I got in there with the saw, cut all the branches out so they won't be able to like hop up the branches to get up there and roost.
Uh-huh.
And I'll probably keep an eye on it
and
go out there like right before the sun goes down and try to catch them and put them in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what we did for the last little ones we got, and they sleep in there every night. So yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have two of our original flock left, and then one rooster, 5 of the other ones we bought midsummer, and then these new 8. So piggies are doing good. Sheep are out in the pasture. I've been kind of haven't been paying much attention to them. I probably need to go out and spend some time with them, but yeah, it's good. It's warm here. I'm trying to get my shop organized. I kind of want to build a little wood shop out there.
Yeah.
So yeah,
do some woodworking.
Yeah, I've always really enjoyed woodworking, you know.
Uh-huh.
I did wood shop in high school, and you know, wish it would have been something that I would have pursued a little more. It's one thing I actually really enjoy doing. And you know,
did you have a car shop also in your high
no,
school?
No, all that was left was they kind of had a home ec deal and wood shop. That was the only two like art, like what do they call them,
What's the word? Where
Yeah.
it's your choice.
Oh, electives.
Electives.
Yeah, that was like only two in like not industrial but vocational arts that they had at my school left. They had the remnants of an old auto body shop, but they didn't teach it. So yeah, our teacher looked like have you ever do you ever watch Beavis and Butthead and see like the hippie teacher, Mr. Van Driesen? That's what our
No.
wood shop teacher looked like, but in like Bob but in Bob Vila clothes. So but yeah, other than that, guys, we are a value for value show. So anything that you want to donate to the show, time, talent, treasure, we really appreciate. And some people have sent me some really kind emails that I haven't gotten back to yet, but I have read them. Offering me a few services that aren't money, but things that they want to gift me that like the someone who's a nutritionist sent me an email and I've read it and I just haven't got back to you yet. I really appreciate it and we'll talk soon. They wanted to gift us some nutrition consultations. So yeah, we might take
Awesome.
them up on it. And
Yeah.
yeah, art, music, whatever. We might need maybe we need some new intro and outro music. So if anybody wants to get anything going for us, we'd appreciate it. And of course, donations in the monetary form are very much appreciated. I've got a couple. Let's see if I can pull them up real fast. If I, and then once again, guys, if I'm forgetting, please just remind me, and I will make sure that you are mentioned on the show. Tammy Jakes, who is a fantastic friend of the show and who has a new podcast called the Dirty Hands Podcast. She gave us $25.
Thank
Sean
you kindly.
Sotelo gave us some money. CJ Preisendorfer. I'm not sure if I've thanked all these people yet. But yeah. And then there might be some PayPal ones, but I'm not going to read those right now. I will.
Thanks to all.
And then, guys, we are brought to you by the Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. So, for all your gold, silver, crypto needs, get a hold of Tony, our good friends, Tony Arterburn and Kenzie over there at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. They have a storefront shop in Branson, Missouri. If you're in the area, go check them out in the Ozarks. And you can also do everything online and over the phone. I think you call in, you talk directly to Kinsey and Tony. Tony's a great friend of the show, fantastic podcaster, all around cool dude. And I suggested to our friend Buck Johnson to get him on Counterflow Podcast, and he did. And they went on there, they gave me a shout out, and they had a fantastic, fantastic talk. Both those
Cool.
guys kind of came from the same world of paleo conservatism in Texas. They're both, I think Tony's a little bit younger than Buck, but like around the same time. And they're all both fans of like 90s conspiracies. I reached out to Buck and said, I think this guy and you would have a great talk. And they did. So go listen to the newest Counterflow with
Okay.
Buck Johnson. And that goes for everybody, not just you, Deborah. I had
Right.
Tony Arterburn on it, and he kind of just talked about what he talked about to us. And he's the kind of guy that can really break it down for you. The problem with fiat currency, and he talks about sound money, and then with a healthy dose of all that fun 90s conspiracy. And it's great. He always makes the point that fiat currency always goes to zero. There's not one that's ever lasted. So if you guys want to get your money out of these, as he calls them, Luciferian bankster notes, get a hold of those guys over there, get some physical gold and silver, and yeah, they got all sorts of cool stuff, so check them out. And every time, oh, so to get there, you go to www.deborahgetsredpilled.gold, and that will be in the show notes. And if you go there and you do business with them, that's our affiliate link, and we'll get a little kickback from there. So it's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, I've got physical silver a little bit, but not very much. And I don't have any money anymore, so it's hard to convince the one with the money to, buy stuff. But She's been pretty good about it lately, and I've been turning a lot of our money into tools and stuff like that that's going to last. And while the dollar still has a little bit of buying power, I suggest that's what everybody does. So,
Shoosh.
what do you think?
Just that the thought that our whole currency could just
Evaporate.
explode and evaporate.
Well, the good news is when that happens, we will have the central bank digital currency. We'll have crypto from the government that they have total complete control over. What could go wrong, you know? Maxine Waters has recently said that we need, are you friend familiar with Maxine
I
Waters?
know who she is,
Yeah,
yeah.
she's one of those people that, you know, she's like the Nancy Pelosi of South Central Los Angeles. You know, like has just been there forever, been in Congress or whatever she is for forever. Probably doesn't get voted for anymore. She's just there, you know, or people just vote for her because they know her name. And yeah, she says we need that CBDC more than ever too, because we need to. Her explanation of it is we need CBDC to keep up with China.
I don't get the connection, but okay.
Yeah, do we need to make some concentration camps and put our Muslim population in it to keep up with China as well, or what? You know, who knows? Yeah, have you heard about any of this stuff with the Nord Stream, or as the press secretary calls it, the Nordstrom pipeline?
No.
You haven't heard about it?
No.
It's a big pipeline. Russian oil pipeline that goes from Russia to Germany that blew up suspiciously. And strangely enough, there's video of Joe Biden from earlier in the summer or in the springtime talking about how if they try to use the Nord Stream pipeline, that they won't be able to. And so he says it in a press conference, and one of the people in the press corps asks, "Well, how would you shut that down because it's in Germany's control?" And he just says, "Well, believe me, we'll be able to do it." That's all he says. And so it mysteriously blows up a couple months later, and we're blaming Russia for it. We're saying that they sabotaged their own thing when they could have just turned it off on their end. Yeah. So I don't know. If they tell you that they're gonna do it and then it's done, and then they try
Then
to
you
blame
gotta.
somebody, and Victoria Nuland said they'd do the same thing. So she's a horrible swamp creature and responsible for the Iraq war and the coup in Ukraine in 2014. So these people 2014 installed their people that they want there. They've got this guy Zelensky in there now, and we're just giving them so much money. Florida's underwater and in a bad way, and we're just giving money to the Ukraine. And yeah, I call it the Ukraine. People get mad when you do that, I guess, but I also say Kiev, which is a no-no word now too. You have to say Kiev.
Kiev.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess they came up with they just passed some bill to give a bunch of money to Florida, and like in the bill was just that they wrote in that they're giving more money to Ukraine in the Florida bailout bill. It's like twice as much money to Ukraine than they're giving Florida. Insane, Deborah. We're flirting with a two-front nuclear war with China and Russia. It's scary.
It is
Like,
very
I mean,
scary.
I'm not scared because I don't think there are nuclear weapons, but it just seems like, you know, we shouldn't be doing it. Like, why?
Yeah.
What's the point? Like, is it is what Most people, if you ask them why are we flirting with nuclear war with Russia for, they won't ask you, but they'll say that they support it, you know.
Did I hear you correctly say you don't think there are nuclear weapons?
I think it's questionable, yeah. So I think there's a whole bunch of conspiracies around that. So could be
Huh.
real. A lot of people think that like Hiroshima and Nagasaki were just massively firebombed. People moved back in there like the next week and were fine.
Huh.
Yeah. There's a bunch of old like nuclear physicists and stuff who would like drink like nuclear reactor water and like go swimming in it and stuff like that. Like, yeah.
Where can I look this up?
Probably not YouTube anymore. It used to be on there. You just gotta find some places.
Yeah.
Go to BitChute, go to Odyssey, check it out. You know.
Huh.
That was a fun episode we did on Kurt Cobain, huh?
Yeah.
You liked it?
Yeah, I did. Why does his name just flew out of my head. Why does he like to be in the dark?
Oh, Chris Graves.
Yes.
I think he has a bad internet connection, so I think he goes and he records in his car. I think he uses like the 5G in his car or something like that. So
Okay.
he
Yeah, no, that
had.
was good. That was really good. And I just, when we were done, I went and looked up more stuff about Courtney. There's very little
Yeah.
about any of her nefarious behavior.
Yeah, I've been
I didn't do a deep dive, but I was surprised.
it's hard to find anything like that nowadays, especially if you're using the major search engines like
Yeah.
Google. So it's there's that guy John Potash that we talked about on there, and I found his website. I tried to send him an email today, but it was like one of those like email things where you like put in your name and then write your message and then have to do the little captcha thing and then send it, you know. And it wouldn't send. So I'm going to keep trying to reach out to him. So if anybody listens to the show, has an in with him, I would love to talk to him. Yeah, I still want to go back and listen to that tinfoil hat with him on it. It's really entertaining. But yeah. We've got some I've been talking with some people to do some Halloween oriented stuff, some more spooky stuff. So that's what I was asking you about today.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
Cool.
You like talking about paranormal stuff, it seems like, because you've been talking more. You like talking with Julia about that stuff, and then you like music stuff too, right?
Right. I do.
Cool. That's good to know. So we'll keep chasing this Kurt Cobain
And
story.
weird, yeah, weird murder stuff,
Serial killers.
serial killers.
Yeah.
I tell you, we were talking about pig farm, the pig farm at
Picked
one
and pig
point,
farm, yeah.
and I listened to the book, The
The whole
Pig
book,
Farm,
all 25 hours.
25 hours,
Yeah, I did
and
too.
it was I kind of got down in the dumps just because it's such heavy material, but I loved how so much of it was about the women,
Yeah.
so anyway, I digress, but that's just popped
Yeah,
in my
I mean,
head.
I was listening to that thing and it's just like it's really thoughtful and good that she puts that much time into like talking about every one of those women who went missing and like their history and finding their schoolmates and stuff. But it's like at one point I'm like, is every woman in British Columbia a prostitute? It's like, is every woman addicted to crack and like every guy like a drug addict who beats women? Like, this is insane, you know?
Yeah, it's like because you're so immersed in it for a long period of time, you think that's the whole world.
Yeah, and it's what I'm gonna say here might sound a little off, but it's strange because where we're at, especially where you're at, a lot of times the prostitutes and the people on the outskirts of society don't necessarily look like us, if you know what I mean. And
Right.
then in Canada, everybody kind of looks the same besides the native women. So I remember like one time I went to like downtown Sacramento after I'd been living in East Oakland, which is like a pretty gnarly area. That's, it was like at the time, I don't think it is anymore, but it was like, heavily African American. And then I went to downtown Sacramento and it's like a real gnarly, gross place. But like there was like homeless white people and I was like, wow, this is really strange. I'm not used to this. So
We have a lot of homeless white people,
in San Francisco,
but not in Oakland, huh?
no.
There weren't, huh? That's
No.
interesting.
I mean, there wasn't gigantic, mile long camps
Yeah, like there are
of,
now.
yeah. So there wasn't like mobile homes and stuff like that. It was just a lot of like kind of crackhead people. So, but yeah, I was hoping for, I don't know. I think it would be really hard. We were going to do an episode on that case. I think it would be pretty hard to find out. It definitely seemed like there was some connection between the police and them to be able to get away with that for so long after like
For
being known about.
so long and having all the information that they had over the years, and
Yeah, it was just strange. He like had like s stabbed some woman while he had like put her in handcuffs and stabbed her and like nothing happened to him. Like,
pretty weird.
So yeah, we're talking about the Picton Pig Farm guys, which was like a big farm, and it was like it wasn't a big farm. I hadn't really researched much of it, and then I heard that story, and it's just about this guy who killed all these prostitutes in British Columbia. And
And they didn't do a thing. They refused to even accept that it was perhaps a serial killer in their midst.
yeah.
I can't say it, midst.
Midst. Yeah. Yeah, and it also seemed like he probably wasn't the only, he wasn't acting alone, I mean, at least his brother had to be have been involved, but they had like all
He
those
had to
drifters
know,
in and out of their
right?
farm and stuff like
Yeah,
that. Like,
bad people, bad
yeah.
people. There's evidently a serial killer in San Jose area right now.
Really? What's their MO? Modus operandi for those that don't know.
Just killing men. A bunch of men have been found. I
Are they
haven't,
like gay dudes
not
or?
that I don't think so. I think it's just kind of random, but
Just regular men,
I
like
have not looked into it
tech
enough to.
bros. Are they Mexican? Are they?
I'll let you know.
What's the body count at?
Six.
Six over how long?
Over a few months.
And then how have they connected them? They have all been murdered the same way.
I think so. I like I say, I haven't really looked into it. I just saw a headline on the news. I had
How
the
have they been
news.
murdered? Have they been bludgeoned? Blunt force trauma.
I believe guns.
Okay.
I believe they've been shot.
Interesting.
Yeah,
And they're calling it
but
a
I have
serial
to.
killer.
Yeah, they may not have used that particular word, but they're saying that there's connection to all of this, and perhaps it is.
Interesting. Do they have a name for him yet? Its names are the fun parts.
Not yet. Did what's his name? The guy who's all over the news again now because that they just did the other TV show. I think you watched it on Netflix, from Milwaukee.
Oh, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer. What did they? Did he have a nickname before they? Because they didn't know about him at all. They didn't know that those murders were connected.
Say that again. Sorry.
Jeffrey Dahmer never had a nickname because they didn't know that there was a body count at all.
Yeah.
Until he got busted.
Interesting.
And looked in the fridge. Yeah.
Did they show in that series? You watched the whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did they show in it the time when the little Filipino 14-year-old got away and the cops just like sent him back?
Brought him back. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because he was so, you know, drugged that he couldn't, you know, speak up for himself and say, don't take me back. This guy's going to kill me.
Terrible.
It is terrible.
But yeah, I guess Netflix had that listed in like the, you know how like we go to Netflix and it's like celebrate Black voices and they have like all those like listed. They did that, but for LGBTQ plus AA, and they got all mad at it.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, that is a major part of that story.
Well, it is, but it's not something to celebrate.
No, it definitely isn't something to celebrate.
But, Jesus.
But it can't be ignored, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's real. I, you know, even though I watched the whole thing, I was mad at myself for doing that because it just did bring him back into the forefront again, into the light.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, I started watching the first episode and it was just like right out of the gate, super duper gay and like made me a little uncomfortable. I didn't really want to watch it, you know? So I know the story pretty well.
Yeah.
Was it good? Is it pretty gross? Well,
yeah, it's gross. It wasn't, there's a word, gratuitous, but you know, I just, there's nothing to learn from another movie about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
You know, not that I don't enjoy watching, you know, movies about pretend serial killers over and over again, but.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, they came out with one that was about him as like a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I watched a little bit of that one. I didn't watch it all the way through. So.
Was that my friend, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, his high school buddy who made a comic book, I think, about him.
Yeah.
And then they turned it into a movie.
Yeah. Let's see. I got a invite to our guest. I'm just trying to text back and forth with him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he thinks we're doing it at a different time, but. He says he's got the invite and we are ready to go with him. So hopefully, so you've mentioned in the past that you wanted to do some stuff about child psychology, what's going on with kids these days.
Mm-hmm.
We did that episode with Travis Mateer. That was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And I heard a guest on a different show who mentioned that he was like a public school administrator.
Uh-huh.
I reached out to him and asked him if he wanted to come on to tell you about what's going on in public schools.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you understand fully the extent of it. And I don't know if I do either, because I don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people I know that have children don't send them to public school or school in general.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's going to be interesting to hear. Yeah. What they have to say about it. And so let's pause and we'll wait to see if he's going to come on soon, and then we'll get back with you in a second. Okay,
sounds good.
Okay guys, we're back with our guest today, who is Mikey J from KGUP Presents podcast. And I first heard him on one of the Monday Night Master Debaters podcasts, I believe. And you mentioned on there that you were an employee of the like the school district for public schools. And I knew Deborah had said that she wanted to do stuff on child psychology and kind of learn about what kids are going through these days. And I thought, who better to hear about it than from someone who has seen it up close and personal as an awake person. And it's probably there's probably not very many of you, but welcome to the show, dude. We're really happy to have you here, and we're really interested in what you're gonna talk to us about. So we tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your show and your little quest for knowledge.
Yeah, thank you, Adam, and thank you, Deborah, for having me on here. I've been listening to your show for the last couple of weeks. I've heard you on a few podcasts, but I never really found your show until recently, and so I just been listening to you guys nonstop. So I appreciate it.
Right on.
Well, basically, I started podcasting probably like I feel like an old timer, 2009,
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
but it was like a totally different format. I was, very asleep, very much a part of the whole, woke culture, but, 10 years ago.
And you
And
were in Southern California, right?
Los Angeles. Yeah, I actually moved there to pursue my, goals of becoming a journalist and getting into radio broadcasting. I took several classes in both fields and got into entertainment law, that kind of stuff for about 3 years. I took entertainment law and went to university, went into like music management, and just realized it was just a big bust. I mean, entertainment is just a horrible field to work in, and I kind of got out of it. And then in 2014, I pursued working in education because the company that I had originally was with, I mean, we had a nonprofit organization, and we wanted to work with children and have, just be a part of like the education system and have art and music and entertainment a part of the system. And that all fell through when my business partner decided to just steal money from my company. And so that obviously went away. And so I just pursued a career in education, had no intention of staying in it. It was really just for research, but I had a knack for working with kids, especially in this, like autism and special needs field. And so that's what I do now. I mean, I work with special needs children, and it is rewarding, even though it's a system that is kind of broken in my view. And a lot of, I just been learning about the whole funding and where the money comes from, and Bill Gates and the Walton family pays for a lot of it now. I
Do you
mean,
know who
back
that
in
is?
like,
Do you know what the Walton family is from, Deborah? Besides the 70s TV show?
well, yeah, the Waltons, the what's the Walmart.
So is there a connection between the Waltons, like the TV show and
I don't
the
know.
Walmart?
I
That'd be
always think
interesting.
whenever someone talks about it, I always think of both of them, though, you know?
Yeah. I hated that show.
Yeah, I never I just remember the end of it where they'd like yell at each other good
Night,
night,
John
you know?
boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, good night.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like propaganda to get their like name out there into the
Maybe.
ether, you know?
It's possible. I mean, everything's programming. Anything that's on television, it's all programming, whether you think so or not.
Yeah.
So did you start as a classroom teacher, or did
No, I started out as kind of like an assistant teacher, a student teacher, and working with just working side by side with teachers. I mean, I still do that now, because I'm a special education teacher, so I don't have to be in front of a class and have, conduct a whole room. I work with individual students that are mixed within the general population, and so I kind of get them up to speed. I
It's like
gather.
you used a prison term to describe the public school, the general population.
Yeah, I mean that's what it is. I mean, it's a prison system.
Yeah.
I mean, we're working towards, you know, what slave job do you want to be working when you get out of high school, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you started out in Los Angeles Unified School District? Is there such a thing as that?
Yes, yeah.
That actually must be just a behemoth monstrosity of red tape and regulations, and yeah, I can't imagine trying to navigate anything successfully.
Yeah, I don't want to say names, but you know, it was a nonprofit organization, and they would have all these like dinner parties with like celebrities and these dignitaries of, you know, the Los Angeles area, like Beverly Hills, and they would raise money to fund their operation. But, you know, we were paid very low in comparison. So whatever the LA Unified School District would subsidize, that's what teachers got paid. And all the rest of the money would just kind of like fund their operation. And like the board of directors would just get a huge chunk of the money. And, you know, they would expand programs, but it was very minimal. It was just whatever the required amount that funding would, you know, would fund. And so it was a little frustrating because, you know, you would see whole families just come in with like, you know, cases of autism that it's just, you would never see it in a regular setting, you know, like I had my own theories and did a little bit of research during while I was working there, and like was tying vaccines with autism, because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of evidence that supports that there is a connection, but, you know, you can never get a legitimate scientist to do a study that would link the two. They would always like separate it.
When you were seeing that, like multi families with multi members that were autistic, was it was it minorities most of the time?
No, and surprisingly, you know, there was where our schools were located. You know, 50% of the population were Jewish.
Yeah.
So it's very, very surprising how that. I mean, it was just. I think that because of the indoctrination, they would just follow medical protocol to the letter.
Yeah.
So those medical protocols, you know, they would always push vaccines on a very tight schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked just that other one because I know that the MMR is the one that they say has disproportionately affected like little black boys. That's what the whole
movie, really?
Yeah. That's what the movie Vaxxed is about. So.
Mm. Yeah. But, I don't doubt that at all. I mean, they really pushed it in the lower economic regions, especially south of any city, like, you know, like Dallas, where I live now. I mean, anything south of the city proper is just, you know, inundated. And a lot of my current students, I mean, they all live in that general vicinity.
Yeah.
And so it was the same thing in LA as well, because we had moved to like Culver City, Venice area. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our students came from South LA. I mean, they were being shipped from like an hour away. Like, you would never take your child that far to go to our school or go to any school.
Yeah.
Was your school designated as a special ed?
Yeah.
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 I worked at the public school that my kids went to, and at one point was a para for a young kid who had a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And our school was I don't know what you would call it. It's not a magnet school, but our school took care of the kids who had challenges.
Right. Yeah, it was a very segregated like school district. So the regular population weren't integrated like they are here in Texas. I mean, they try to make kids with special needs feel like they're normal. And so that's what's completely different about the blue states, is that they would segregate the students them so they were only around each other, you know. And then general population, as soon as you're diagnosed with autism, they would take you out of the school, which is very, very interesting.
That is, because there's different degrees. And
yeah.
So as soon as the child got the diagnosis, they were out of there?
Yeah, they would get transferred to another school.
Wow.
One of our schools.
Mm-hmm. So did you, the students were all special needs kids? Or so there was, okay.
And like the students that I worked with in Los Angeles, they were all high functioning. So they were very intelligent. They just, a lot of their quirks, I guess you can call it, were mostly emotion based, you know, mm-hmm. unable to control their own emotions and stuff. And, you know, they didn't have people with Asperger's, so they weren't able to understand other people's feelings, you know.
They didn't pick up on the social cues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Deborah. You go.
I was just going to ask, the district that you're in now, is it also just special needs?
No, it's completely integrated with the regular teachings.
Uh-huh.
So I just work with them individually and try to get them to, you know, understand what the curriculum is, what the assignments are. I specialize in history, chemistry, environmental science, and I think something else. I'm terrible at math. I mean, I avoid math like the plague.
Yeah, I'm not very good at it either. I got my general education math out of the way in college and then never had to do it again. I took statistics. But so when you started noticing that something weird was going on when you were still in California, what kind of stuff did you notice that the Gates Foundation and the Waltons were stuff like that? What were they doing?
I don't know about other school districts and where the money came from for Los Angeles. I mean, like I said, they would have these like lavish dinner parties, kind of like whenever Obama would come to Los Angeles. I mean, the whole place was just shut down, you know, $100,000 dinners. And, you know, I mean, he was there in Los Angeles once a month and, you know, the traffic would just be gridlock. And so they would have host these kind of parties where they would have these famous artists come perform. I was never invited. I actually tried to work in public relations because some of my experience was in public relations. And so I wanted to be a part of that whole side of like fundraising because I wanted to see how it operated. I really didn't want to be a teacher. I wanted to be a part of the high society, you know, be on that side of it and raise money. And I didn't know about the Bill Gates Foundation until this year. And in our employee handbook, it says that our funding comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Walton Family Foundation. I was like, oh my God. So all these like conspiracies are pretty much true that, you know, it's not really government funded, but I think a lot of motivation comes from private entities that operate for the government. They're just funded by people, you know. And I don't think like Bill Gates is really who he really says he is. I mean, I think a lot of it is all funding. I mean, he's positioned there intentionally, and he's just the face, which is why he's on every freaking news channel and why everyone talks to him, because he has such an influence on people, because everybody, you know, kind of like idolizes him as such a major figure. It's kind of like Elon Musk. And I don't believe his background either.
Yeah, I don't either. it doesn't make sense. Anything about his financial situation, about being like the richest man in the world from selling PayPal and then just getting government money to build cars that don't work, you know?
Right.
And he's a transhumanist, which everybody seems to gloss over, you know, it's like the biggest transhumanist, even though he says it's not good, he's still transhumanist and who's still practicing it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even years ago, when people would, when I'd ask, so who do you look up to? And they would say, oh, I like Elon Musk. And I'm like, he really doesn't know anything. He's just a money person. He invests in things and then buys out the company, but people think that he invented it. I'm like, no, he didn't invent anything. He just had a bunch of money.
Yeah. And then remember he had the boring company. He was just like drilling holes in the underground in Los Angeles. And like, there people are making a huge deal. Like it's never been done before. It's like, oh, he's like the subway. You mean like, did any of that ever go anywhere? Did he ever get anything done with a boring company?
Supposedly there's like 100 miles worth of tunnels underneath Dallas that go all the way out to Fort Worth. And, you know, we're expected to believe some, you know, company from New Jersey who has ties to the mafia had built all these tunnels. I'm like, that doesn't make any freaking sense.
Yeah.
And and then they just shut it down, and you can go down into the tunnels, but they're just blocked off, and there's like no rhyme or reason why that they exist. And you know, I mean, there's this whole tunnel system, and you can connect where John F. Kennedy was assassinated and go, you know, all these places. So it would have been easy for any of these snipers to have access to where he drove through. So it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, well, at least maybe if there's nothing down there, that's where we can go live when everything else goes bad, you know, be the tunnel people. So when you were, was there a point when you realized there was a shift in policies in the school, or was it always kind of based on what was being sent down from the top, from these NGOs and private charity companies and stuff like that?
You know, it's hard to tell who's making all the decisions, because you know the government operates kind of like in the shadows. You really don't know. You think everything's run by the government. I mean, the government, you know, kind of like regulates everything and makes sure that everything's legal. But these private entities, I mean, they give us a lot of money, and we're constantly getting these like new apps, you know, and before COVID, I mean, nobody had laptops. And now all of a sudden every student has laptops and they're all connected to the internet. They're all required to use all these applications, you know, just like our phones. I mean, as soon as they log in, they have like, you know, 20 different apps that they use, but we only use like maybe two or three at total.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them are trackers. I mean, we actually get $7 million to use this one application just to monitor their mood. And it's like, what benefit is there? I mean, there's really nothing that benefits the child. You know, the in the morning, they're, you know, like, oh, we got to get everybody to you know, sign in and tell the application how they feel. And at the end of the app, you know, if they come in and they says, oh, I don't feel good, I feel tired, or my body's in pain, and it'll ask like, what's your social life like? And you know, you put meh, or I feel good, or I feel bad, or you're having conflict at home. And so at the end of it, they have a video, and it's supposed to change your mood. It's supposed to alter your mood and like make you feel better.
That's suspect, but what is the video? First of all, how old are these students? Are they high school age?
My students are high school. Okay. I'm sure it's district wide. Uh-huh. That they all use this, because you know we get $7 million just for using this application. And then I looked it up because I was very suspicious when they introduced it. I was like, all right, well, I looked at the system. I was like, you know what, there's no benefit other than tracking what these kids feel. And it turns out that there's only three people, and they're from San Jose, California, and two of them are Chinese and one's an American. I mean, for all I know, just a white person. And, you know, and they're giving all these school districts millions of dollars. I'm like, okay, where are they getting their money from?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, let's talk
about that. You said at yours it's 70?
No, seven million. Just seven million.
Just for your school district.
I mean, that's small change compared to what the money that we get from all these other entities. But, you know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I've discovered. I mean, like these three people, I mean, what are they getting out of it? How are they recouping this money? So these things are just a big front. Mm-hmm. And whoever's funding them has even more money to be able to influence our student body, to program and to track everything that they do. So they have, we issue these Chromebooks. So they know everything that they're doing. But at the same time, you know, like if a student loses their Chromebook, they're like, oh, we don't have an ability to track and trace where these laptops go. So I'm like, okay, well, that makes no sense at all. I mean, we have all this technology, we can track anything, but yet we can't trace where a laptop goes.
Do you think they're using all these apps to just mine data? Yeah.
I think what they're doing is they're trying to gather data to see how many students actually got the vaccine and how they can track their state of mind throughout this whole process. And it's very interesting because the number of fights have gone up like 1,500%. And
like,
you know,
fights between students,
yeah, just they're fighting with each other. And you know, it's all in it, it's really like 10th graders, which is very interesting. The 11th graders aren't violent, the 12th graders aren't violent, the 9th graders aren't, just 10th grade. And I find that very weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen a bunch of articles throughout the country and in fights and aggravated assault and all this stuff that's happening has gone up 200%.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of really terrible videos that I wish I didn't watch on Twitter all the time of just terrible student fights.
Yeah. And all of it's online. I mean, you probably would see me in a few fights, like breaking them up.
it's wild. Like I went to a mixed high school and there was a lot of fights. There wasn't like a ton of racial tension, but there was definitely like guys that, you know, listen to country music fighting with Mexican people and stuff like that. And, but you know, it never seemed like as violent as these ones I've been watching on the internet now do, you know, it seems really, really scary.
They don't seem racially motivated.
Okay. Well, that's good news.
I don't know what it is. I think it's just frustration. You know, people are really suppressed and maybe COVID has affected people in different ways. You know, like people lost a lot during the 2.5 years, 3 years that it happened. And so people lost family members and they've had to make huge changes in their lives. A lot of these kids got COVID and were in the hospital and spent, you know, over a month in the hospital.
Yeah. How old's a 10th grader? 15 or 16?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to figure if you're like 13 when all this starts or 12 and a half or something like that, 12 and a half to like 16 is those are like pretty important years where you're like kind of like can figure some stuff out. And if everything's shut down, you like miss out on all that social interaction in those two plus important years, you know?
Yeah. When you think about when COVID came out, I mean, 2019 was when Fortnite was like at its peak and every kid in like, because I was working in seventh and eighth grade.
Fortnite's a video game that kids
love. Okay, all right, I was going to ask.
And, you know, it's kind of like World of Warcraft where you just like everybody kind of congregates and talks online and plays a video game. But this is way more violent. You know, you're dealing with like real money. You can, you know, you have this cache of like valuable stuff that's worth real money. And these other gamers would just come and steal it or just con you into selling it to you. And then they would just steal it and not pay you. I mean, it's really terrible. You know, it's fun. It looks cool, but at the same time, it's very, you know, it's very sinister. And so that all happened, and all these kids, like seventh and eighth grade, they were very addicted to this gaming platform, and then COVID hit. So already these kids were addicted to this game, and they just wanted to be immersed in it because it never ends. It's 24 hours a day. It just never stops. And then when COVID hit, all these kids got to be at home, and they continued to play nonstop. And all of a sudden, you know, oh, we have school, but it's online. And so these kids would just sit there with their laptop, you know, all the schools just, all right, here's a Chromebook, you know, just go online. And then they all had, and most of these kids already had a gaming system at home. So they would just, you know, point the camera up to the ceiling fan or whatever, and you know, not really paying attention at all. So these, you know, middle school is like the time when you should really be paying attention and like learn, you know, and these kids weren't doing any of that. They were just screwing around.
Yeah.
Being kids.
Yeah. Being influenced by other kids. What they were learning from each other, which is like, you know, kind of like Lord of the Flies.
Do you think that there was like, so when did you get to Texas?
3 weeks after the lockdowns happened.
Okay.
I was like, I don't want to be in California anymore.
Yeah. The writing on the wall, you got out of there just in time. I saw it earlier than you did. I saw it in 2018, but I came to suburban Portland. So, you know, oh, wow. It didn't get much better, but yeah, during the lockdown, we got out of there and we live out in the middle of nowhere now. And, did you see a big change when you switched from teaching in LA to Texas? Like as far as culture or what was being taught, what was acceptable, anything like that?
You know, individually, everybody kind of thinks the same. I think the group think is a little more loose. I mean, I work with a lot of people who just watches television and believes everything that what the talking heads say. In Los Angeles is very, you know, the group think is very tight. So I, even though I was like, you know, into conservative talk radio, I was listening to like Ben Shapiro and Michael Savage and all those people, I can never talk about what I listened to or what my interests were. And then COVID brought me to another level. I started to not trust any of the conservative talk because they were only talking about certain topic point, you know, certain topics that they were allowed to talk about. And I just felt like the mentality was really driven by politics and news and all this stuff. And then going to Texas, I felt like there was not as much tension. The frequencies were just a little more, like I felt more at home and relaxed.
Yeah.
Versus Los Angeles, where it just felt like, I didn't really notice it until I left California.
Yeah, it's the whole West Coast. It's like, it's just this thick tension that you can feel in the cities. Do you know what we're talking about, Deborah?
I think I do.
Yeah. I mean, I go to Portland once a week, you know, once or twice a week. I try to limit it as much as possible, but yeah, it's a measurable feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And it's in, you know, Seattle, San Francisco, Oakland, it's all the same. You know,
like even last night, we were driving through Dallas, like downtown Dallas, and I just feel very tense, very like aggravated, and like, you know, like I told my wife, I'm like, my hand hurts because I've been gripping this steering wheel so tight. And yeah. And I drove Uber for a while when I was student teaching, and I never felt as intense as I do in Dallas. I mean, Dallas drivers are just very aggressive.
Yeah, I noticed. I've been to Texas a couple times. I've noticed that people drive like real dicks there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got these big trucks and fast vehicles because, you know, gas is a lot cheaper, so they can just floor it. You know, if it says 75, guaranteed everybody's driving 90.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, we were there for Deborah's other daughter's wedding, and I was driving out to wherever the brewery that it was at with her, with Deborah's husband, and like some guy got mad at me and like cut me off on the road. And I don't get like road rage or anything like that, but her husband does. And so, he's like, well, that was an asshole thing that guy did. You should catch up to him and like see what he looks like and then do the same thing to him. And I was like, we're in Texas, dude. Like, he's like, what does that mean? I go, people have guns here.
And yeah. Rifles in their car.
Yeah. So, you know, they have it in Oregon too. So, but, yeah. What, do you have any questions, Deborah?
No, but keep going. This is really interesting. All the funding and the just never occurred to me that I don't know what the local school districts here. I know they have, you know, foundations where, you know, in families chip in and but I wonder if there are any other sources.
Deborah lives in Marin County. I think that's where I think that's where Jaron lives too.
He's in Merced. Fresno County.
Got it. Never mind. Then I was totally wrong. but
Marin County is beautiful. I've spent a lot of time there because I lived in Fremont, California. I don't know if you know where that is.
Sure.
Yeah.
And actually,
people there.
I've gotten so used to seeing Fremont because people know where Fremont is, but it was a little town called Newark.
Sure, yeah, I know.
Right,
Newark.
On the other side of the bridge,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you notice, do you think in like the wealthier school districts they're getting the same kind of funding and influence as they are in other places?
I mean, that whole segregating system was designed by the Koch brothers. They put in a lot of funding during the 90s. And so that whole system of like taxation and how the wealthier schools get more money based on how much revenue is generated from the towns and cities. So I've always hated that whole entire system because it does keep the poor people down. Mm-hmm. So they don't get the same funding as like the richer school districts because, you know, it's based on property taxes.
Yeah.
And these older communities that don't have these rising property taxes, they don't get the same funding. So I think it's a disservice, and it's almost like legal racism and to segregate people based on income when really it should just be evenly distributed throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember I read in college's book, I forget what it was called, but it was about that, the disparity caused by that in Chicago in like the 80s. And it was like, you know, two different worlds. So let's see what else we got. What's it like being a flat earther and like a conspiracy guy in in that world?
You know, being a flat earther is still new to me. Like I started to question things around 2015 or per se. And then around 2017, I met an aeronautical engineer from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena. And he just like let it all out. And
yeah, I heard this story. You met him while you're driving Uber, right?
Yeah, and I was taking him to the airport. So it was an hour and a half drive from Pasadena, and he's like, and we saw the Falcon 9. I think it was December 17th or December 19th, and it made this like huge like plume, and what looked like a wake. So if you've ever gone on a lake or a river, and that, you know, the end of the boat, I mean, it just causes this like wake.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it looked like.
What was it? A rocket ship?
Yeah. I don't recall, but I they were connecting with the space station, or they were putting out a satellite. I don't remember exactly. But when we saw it, I mean, it was huge. I mean, it stretched out for hundreds of miles. You could see it all the way out to, you know, Phoenix, Arizona. And I was like, is that aliens? And he's like, oh, no, that's just the Falcon 9. It scraped against the firmament. And I was like, the firmament? You mean like in the Bible? That's real? And he's like, yeah, that's real. We've never been to space. And I was like, no way. And like, I looked in the rearview mirror and I was like, you got to tell me more. And he just told me everything, you know, about how we've never landed on the moon. That was all fake. And that was dumb. That was totally Stanley Kubrick and NASA working together to make this deception, because, you know, we Americans just wanted to updo Russia. And Russia ended up spending just billions of dollars trying to get to space, which is impossible. And every rocket they would build, I mean, they were just hitting the firmament and just destroying every rocket they ever built, you know, because the firmament is only, I think, if my memory serves, it's only 63 miles. So that's the highest that we can go.
Yeah.
And which is why every rocket is parabolic. They try to tell us, oh, well, they turn sideways to match the speed of the orbit, you know. And then I'm like, well, isn't that going like 24,000 miles or 1,000 miles? And so they make up all these like different things. They're always changing their stories. And if the story doesn't match up, they just take it down. But you can go to archive.org and you can trace everything that they say. It's just like, you know, when they said that IM propulsion, you can go up to 24,000 miles an hour. But, and then they took that article down. And then I was able to find it. And then, you know, and I went to MIT and they tried to replicate IM propulsion and they couldn't do it. Because what happens is what they claim is that the IM propulsion is like they spew out electrons. And then that is what is pushing off in space. But you can't replicate that here on Earth. The most that you can do is like 10 to the negative like 14. But 10 to the negative 17 is the actual vacuum in space, and we can't replicate that on Earth. So it's like, well, how do you know that things can actually work in space if there's nothing to push off?
Yeah,
you know. So and so he went on about all kinds of stuff. You know, how the sun is closer, it's less. And he's like, oh yeah, we don't know for this for sure, but the sun is like less than 3,000 miles away. I was like, wow, that's crazy. And so yeah, that global warming is a political weapon and it doesn't really exist. Everything that happens on Earth is just cyclical. It happens on a cycle. You know, it's just like 2018, we had this like the most heat that we've had in 4 years. Every 4 years, it gets really hot. And then this past year, it got really hot, almost the same. So we're probably going to have a majorly cold winter. And it just repeats.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with global warming.
Yeah, I remember the first one that made a ton of sense to me is I heard this guy Tony Heller on Grimerica, and he just had like all these just basic graphs, and he showed that the whole like global warming scam was just based on what is sent to congressmen and politicians in Washington D.C. They all get the same packet, and the graph starts at like 1969.
Yeah,
they started at 1969 because if they had to show the numbers before, it doesn't work for them, you know. And right. It's like he talked about how in you know in the 30s there was more or there was like less ice on the polar ice caps than there is now, and all sorts of stuff like that. And it's all just a major big controlling scheme that they're just going to roll out. And I don't know if they're, what does it seem like to you? I don't think they're going to be able to do lockdowns because of the climate. I don't know. They might try to force it. It doesn't seem like people are going to go along with it, but.
Well, I mean, people are easily controlled. I mean, all you have to do is just create a scare and you put it on in the television screen or put it on your Black Mirror, and people will believe it, because we've been programmed for so long to watch things on a screen that we don't really go out anywhere to view things for ourselves. I mean, there's so many people who are born in cities that never been out to the country. Yeah. And never seen the stars for what they really look like. You know, we're so used to seeing just like, you know, 10 stars. Yeah. If you live in the city, you know, I would go to Idaho when I was a kid, you know, 12, 13 years old, and we would just camp out the entire summer. And then we would sleep outside of the tent and then just stare at the stars until we fell asleep. So we would see, I mean, I could see the Aurora Borealis and see shooting stars. I mean, you could see everything, and the skies look exactly the same as they do now. So
yeah,
they're just hidden when you live in a city.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible when you can get out of that, like, light pollution and noise pollution. And it's like, it's so quiet where we live. I know when Deborah comes up, it's a real shocker, huh?
I love it. It's great. Yeah, just to see the sky at night and see everything that's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a 3-year plan where we're looking into buying some land and you know, either building a home from scratch, or getting a tiny home, or getting a manufactured home. Cause I want to have a bunch of chickens and have a huge garden. I don't want to be confined to, you know, the city. I mean, if something ever does go down, I mean, people are going to raid what food supply I do have. And, you know, we have, you know, solar powered generators and all these survival gear, but
yeah, you're just holding it for somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, you could easily just get stolen. I mean, thank goodness I am, you know, armed, but I really don't want to shoot anybody.
Yeah. I don't want, you know, people bring that up so much. It's like, I'm well armed. It's like, I don't want to ever have to do any of that stuff, you know? So.
Yeah, I served in the military for a couple of years, but, you know, as soon as I realized that I was no longer in control of my life, I was out of there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't want to know what it's like to kill somebody, and I never want to experience that.
Yeah.
And I was lucky that I was never deployed. Like, I was supposed to be deployed twice, and I didn't go.
Yeah. That's good news, man. I'm glad you didn't have to do that. Yeah. A couple of years ago, I went to a 3-day like AR-15 urban rifle training course down way at the bottom of Oregon. It was super intense, man. Like, wow. And I came away like knowing a couple things, and those were like, I don't know how to use a rifle like I thought I did. And I never ever want to have to, you know, that's like what I came away from it. And I was like pretty active in the freedom, kind of like anarcho-capitalism libertarian movement at the time. And I'd go to like these meetups with people, and they'd be like, yeah, I've got a 9mm pistol and an AR-15. And, you know, if anything goes, it was like at the start of the lockdowns when it was, you know, coming up on the summer of love in Portland. And people were talking about like how they knew how to, or how they had all this stuff, like 2 boxes of bullets and a gun to protect themselves. I'm just like, dude, you know, you got no idea, you know, it's not gonna work out for you. And I kind of relate it to like, you ever see like a video of two people like who get into like a fist fight at like a convenience store or a gas station who don't know how to fight? Like, that's what you're like, and you're just critiquing them online, making fun of them, even though that's probably what you would be like. Like, that's that's what most people would be like, even if you have a pistol and you've gone to the rifle range a couple times, you know, like that's what you're gonna look like, you know, and it's not gonna end up well. Like, it's a real deal. So yeah, let's hope that it never comes to that. I don't want to live in a dystopian future or anything like that. But what do you see going forward? Are you going to stay working for the school district, you think?
You know, my wife and I are always talking about how I'm just not completely happy working for the company. And I do want to get out of it somehow, but, you know, I've been doing it for so long that I don't have any other trade. So I just want to scale down to where I don't have as many expenses where I need to have that kind of job. Mm-hmm. You know, like my wife works for a martial arts company, and you know, I train there, and you know,
what kind of martial art?
It's mixed martial arts. It's Krav Maga and like kickboxing.
Cool. Grapple at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on.
My least favorite. I mean, I did wrestling when I was in high school, so I have a little bit of experience.
Yeah, jiu-jitsu is my favorite, man. I used to be an addict, and then I moved out here to the woods, and it's a real long drive to the closest place. So I really want to get back into it, but then my back's like thankful that I'm not right now. But I need to get back. I miss it a lot. So
that's funny. I know what that's like, because I had a car accident a long time ago, and I've just been nursing it throughout my life. And I honestly didn't think I would make it this far. I've been training for 2.5 years and I'm still at it. And, you know, now I'm a brown belt and working my way up to black.
Cool.
And, before I started, I had all kinds of ailments. I had like shoulder pains and like knee pains and foot. And, just through supplementation and like wearing like the copper, braces and stuff. I've been able to like manage all the pain and discomfort, and like listening to like Crow 777, and you know, they always have these like nutritionists and doctors that, you know, recommend all these like natural healing stuff. So my body's like way younger. I feel younger than I did when I was 25.
That's great.
Yeah. Crow's awesome, man. I pay for his premium stuff. I haven't listened in a really long time. I should get back into it. He's a little intense for me sometimes. He doesn't joke around as much as I like on podcasts, you know.
But yeah, he's very serious.
Definitely a good guy to listen to every now and again. But it's good to have a plan, and I hope you guys make it out. You made it out of California, so that's the first step. So
you know, it's funny how I got out here. You know, I used to love listening to Alex Jones, but he just, you know, after the 2016 election, and, you know, he convinced me to vote for Trump. And because I've always been like independent, you know, I voted for not Ross Perot, but I was a big fan of Ross Perot, but I voted for Ron Paul.
Yeah.
And then when the 2016 election came around, I mean, I was just convinced that, you know, he was going to save the world, and, you know, he was our savior. He's just one of us. He just happened to be rich. I felt for all that nonsense. And, you know, after that, I just realized it's all propaganda. I mean, they're all friends together. Mm-hmm. I met a PR agent that said, oh, I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were together at a wedding in India. And I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, they were big friends prior to of this.
He paid her to come to his wedding, you know?
They're all friends. And so it's just a big act, you know, it's just like, you know, there's this like whole push to demonize libertarians, so you vote the right or left. It's like, you know, you're wasting your vote if you don't vote Republican, you're wasting your vote if you don't vote Democrat. So I can't stand it. It's all, you know, it's the same coin. It's just two different sides, you know?
Yeah. I struggle with it, man. I go back and forth with, you know, voting works, voting doesn't work, you know, third party, or just vote for, you know, like I was talking to Deborah and our other co-host on the last show, and I'm a one topic voter now. And it's like, what was your opinion on the lockdowns and mandates? What did you say about it? You know, and if you're bad on it, I'm not voting for you, because you're going to be bad on the next one, you know? So it sucks to have to reduce it to one thing, you know? But yeah, it's like people in our world like talk about Ron DeSantis, like, oh, I don't trust him, blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, you didn't live in California. You didn't live in Oregon during COVID, you know? Wow, Ron DeSantis is a huge Zionist. I'm pretty sure Kate Brown and Gavin Newsom are too. And then they made me wear a mask for like 8 months longer than anybody else had to, you know? So I'll take that guy 10 out of 10 over what we got going on in my state, you know? So I think there's, and then we've also, you know, I listen to tons of people that used to be libertarian-ish, ANCAP type people who are kind of over it now. And trying to get people to organize at least on a local level and run for office in these small communities and take kind of like work on just taking over a town and, you know, going to a town of 5,000 people and, you know, getting somebody, you know, that you want as the mayor and people on the school board and influencing the sheriff and, you know, maybe even getting someone, you know, as a sheriff or moving to a county that has a good sheriff. That's the most important part, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had, I was talking to Matt Landman and then he did this whole like, activism at the city hall in Danville. And I was like,
is he down there now? I know he was in Ashland, Oregon for a long time, or not, maybe not a long time, but he was in Southern Oregon and then he was in Danville, California.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
And, I was like, you know, if you really want something to actually change, you have to get 15% of the population of the city that you live in. So, I mean, like Dallas would be impossible. I mean, we'd spend months and months and months getting signatures from 15% of the population here, but small towns are way easier because you don't need as many signatures. And so if you want to get rid of fluoride in the water, or if you want to get rid of, you know, anything, and you just need a certain number of signatures and then it'll get on the ballot. And then if everybody votes on it, you can have that removed. So
our friend Buck Johnson from the Counterflow podcast, he lives in Lockhart, Texas. He was from, you know, lived in Austin forever and got out because it's, you know, what it is now. And he lives out in the hill country now in this little town called Lockhart. And he was telling me, or telling people on his show, that there was spots on the city council and he like went and looked at the last previous election and the people who were on the city council had gotten like 3 votes. Like that's how they won their spot on the city council. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, so there's spots out there that you can get if you just have to like show up and have like 4 of your buddies come vote for you, you know? So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. It's, you know, on a local level, if you live in a small town, but I don't think there's any hope in these big cities. You know, I don't think they're ever gonna, they're not ever gonna be in favor of anything that you and I want, especially in schools and right, stuff like that. I guess we'll ask a couple more questions about school stuff and then we'll get you out of here. Have you noticed any sort of push? I guess I'll ask you either place, LA or Dallas, for the trans stuff.
The transhumanism?
No, the transgenderism.
I've noticed a big push since last year of like, you know, the equality and like we need, you know, not bullying. But, you know, they make it sound like it's just so commonplace. Like everybody, you know, like there's like one in every classroom, you know, I mean, that would be one thing if there was actual bullying, but people just kind of like don't say anything, you know. Like I have students that just act out and they make loud noises and they make silly sounds and they're just, you know, and have anxiety and they just say certain things and no one says anything. But and if someone wanted to switch genders, I mean, I don't think anybody would say anything then. But there is definitely a push of like putting it in the forefront of like your mind and like making it more accessible and like, you know, because the teachers, they show CNN 10 every morning, which I can't stand because CNN is just propaganda. What's
that? They
show
10 minutes of the news every day and it's CNN.
Yeah. You know, and it's just, it's a tabloid.
It's in the classroom. They show this.
Yeah. And so, and they always talk about, you know, Ukraine or whatever the talking point is of that day. So they're still, I'm sure once, you know, we're in election time right now. So anybody who's against, you know, trans or whatever, I mean, they're going to talk about it. I mean, I haven't watched any of it. I don't go to that class. I go to the actual classrooms. It's usually like this section of the morning, it's called advisory. And so that's when they show the news clips. And I can't stand it. I get really heated and pissed off because it's all mind control.
So bullshit. Is that every classroom at your school does that?
Yeah. And then we have
how do they decide on what network is shown.
Yeah.
I think CNN pays us to watch the stuff.
I mean, that's how they get, that's the only place they get ratings is Deborah's house. Gyms, airports,
yeah,
and apparently public school now. So.
Well, I heard this year that they lost their contract with the international airports.
Yeah,
so they're not going to be shown there. But I think what they're doing is they're trying to make a change in the political stance. So if they really want, you know, someone like Trump to retake office, they're gonna disconnect the news programming, and I mean everything that, because Trump still has a major influence on the conservative market. So if they want to push the vaccine or if they want to push the next pandemic, I mean they need him in office. You know, it's just like the last, you know, during the pandemic when that first happened. I mean, he had a major influence, and so I saw right through it. I was like, you know what, I'm done with him. I'm not supporting that guy ever again. You know, I didn't vote at all in 2020.
That's what our friend, I think Tony Arterburn always says, is that if they're going to bring in like the central bank digital currency, it's going to be a Republican that does it because they're going to get them to go along. Like, and that's the same thing with lockdowns and stuff like that. Like, it's surprising that the left went along with all that stuff because Trump was the one that implemented it. I guess they got into the governors and stuff like that. But can you, like, if Hillary Clinton would have been trying to push all that stuff, I don't think the right wing of America would have followed any of it. And then, you know, there's still like boomer MAGA Republicans all over, old people all over my county wearing red hats with masks on, you know, still to this day, you know, so.
It's so ridiculous. Well, what I learned a few years ago is that, you know, I used to go to opensource.org and you would find exactly who's funding these presidential elections. And so what this trend was is that all these digital corporations, you know, anything that's online, those were all Democratic supported companies. I mean, they would support Democrats. Anything that had any kind of like ground base, like structural, you know, like Ford, you know, anything that's manufactured here in the United States, or they have, you know, they build stuff, they were supporting Republican candidates. And so that is very tied into how things are moved and pushed. So like manufacturing, like anything that's like tied to farming or oil, they all support Republican candidates. And so if they want that side of the corporations to move a certain direction politically, or they want to push a certain agenda, that's how they move the people, because people, you know, just work for these companies. So
makes sense.
So I have a question for you. If I don't know if you have children, would you send them to school?
It's a great question. I was going to ask that as well, Deborah.
Now I wouldn't. I do have a son, and he's a little indoctrinated. He leans towards conservative views, but you know, he's in college now, and he's kind of like one foot in, one foot out of both sides.
Man, it's got to be so tough to be that age and have that kind of, man, even if you wanted to be like some right-wing conservative, you'd never get chicks, you know? So,
you can't ever express yourself. I mean, I was in college and I was very confused. Like, do I support Obama? Do I not? You know?
I mean, I was in college in the early 2000s and I was, you know, basically a commie. It's just the time of your life that you're going through that those kind of thoughts are more appealing to you, you know, and some people like grow out of them and some people don't. It seems like we've got just all these people running around that are thinking like I was when I was 19 years old. Like I hate Antifa, but if I was 19 years old and that stuff was going on in Portland and I lived there, of course I would have been involved in all that stuff, you know, like,
yeah.
So I can see how it happens, you know? And yeah, I mean, I remember, like, you think you know so much, and then you're influenced. I was a history major in college, and I was influenced by professors who, you know, they're all Marxists. And I didn't know that at the time. I didn't really know about Marx or what socialism and communism really was, but I mean, it sounded nice and friendly and like it was going to be, you know, beneficial for everybody at the time. And that's all I'd call myself that, you know. And it's just so people never get beyond that, and that's the problem in all these cities and then in all the institutions, and it just keeps going and going and going and going. And yeah.
But there's always people out there that will surprise you, and then they are really awake to all the deception. Like my one of my good friends, he's a history teacher, and he, you know, he's all into all of everything that I'm into. And, you know, he wasn't into like the whole flat earth thing, but he was like leaning towards the world being flat as well. And you know, but he teaches a lot of stuff about how, you know, the mainstream media is really all deceptive, and the CIA is very much in control of what we see on television, and to be wary. And he showed like the 1975 trials and how they manipulated the news back in the 50s and 60s.
The church hearings.
Yeah. And so he, you know, he's really trying to educate our students of now to be more critical about what we see on television, because it's nothing is what we think it is. And just because they're on television and they're the newscasters, I mean, doesn't mean that they're telling the truth. I mean, they're funded by freaking Pfizer. These network television channels are funded by the things that we should be against, you know?
Yeah. And like, have you ever been watching like one of those like Crossfire or like Sunday morning news shows, and they'll just be a commercial for Raytheon or like Boeing or something, like something that none of us would ever be able to spend money on willingly. We all pay for it with our taxes, but like, it's just for like, for some war contract, some gigantic conglomerate, military industrial complex conglomerate. And like, there'll be a commercial on, dude, I've seen it on, you'll see it like on PBS, like this segment was brought to you by Raytheon, like on PBS.
Wow.
Yeah.
PBS, I mean, people think that that's real news, but they're just as compromised. I mean, just because they have a very somber, you know, low tone voice, and it sounds like they're telling the truth, but they're lying.
They're the worst. NPR and PBS, like they're the worst, and it sucks because it's supposed to be, that should be the one that's actually objective, because it's public. Yeah. It's paid for by us, you know?
Yeah.
But just goes to show you, you know,
these news organizations can't afford a copy editor. They can't afford fact checkers. So it's really just the managing editor and the actual broadcasters. Nobody goes out and does in investigations. No one does the deep dives. They don't go across the country. They, you know, we don't even know who these AP, these Associated Press people are. I mean, my opinion is that they're all CIA. They're all government funded individuals that write these stories. And it's just like, you know, the Navy, they have these disinformation factions of groups that disseminate information from other countries. They intercept these bloggers and news sources, and they scramble it. And whatever we see or what other countries see is totally propagandized. So we don't even know the information is, if it's true or not. I mean, it's just like a couple of weeks ago, I was trying to verify that, you know, China was building eight aircraft carriers, but every news source was giving me a different number. One said 21, one said 8, one said 2. So I'm like, they're military. They don't want anybody to know anything, you know, just like in World War II. I mean, they distributed 41,000 maps. And it was all just to confuse the opposing countries. So they couldn't find America as easily, or they couldn't find Japan as Hawaii as easily. But they're all in on it together. It's just, it's just to confuse regular people like you and me. And these countries do work together, and they coerce these like wars intentionally to depopulate or to, you know, establish trade when a country doesn't want to do it, you know. And so they force everybody in submission and force this free trade, which actually destroys everybody's economies, just so a few people can just be rich and control everything.
Yeah, we don't make anything here anymore.
No,
imagine what happens. Imagine what happens if we didn't get Chinese stuff anymore. The whole country would be destroyed.
Well, that's about to happen. I mean, all these banks are pulling out of China. Chase Manhattan pulled out. Or I don't know if it's Chase Manhattan anymore, but it's Chase. who else? Citibank pulled out, and Apple pulled out, Apple Pay. So these three major banks have pulled out of China. So if anybody uses those banks, they have to find an alternative, or, you know, we're not going to be able to pay China for the manufacturing that we do. And so it's going to make the market even tighter. And, you know, just to prevent them from attacking Taiwan. I mean, I think they're going to take over the entire Pacific, and then we're not going to be able to, China is going to have complete control of what we can and or export from their region. I don't know. I think a mess is coming, and it's going to happen within a couple of years.
The mess is here, man. So, yeah, I think just take care of yourself and the ones you love. Well, we can still, you know, that's all I'm trying to do. Have a good time and go and hang out with my pigs and, you know, hopefully.
I want to get away from the major metropolis and just, you know, if shit goes down, I mean, I'm going to have my property and,
yeah,
you know.
If it all ends because of a asteroid or China or because we keep poking Vladimir Putin, I'm just going to try to like live my life to the fullest until it happens. You know, there's nothing we can do, or we know we don't know what's going on, but we know what's going on, you know, and there's nothing we can really do about it. But
yeah,
I don't know. We can resist as much as we want. I think just resistance by being a normal person and not participating in it is what I'm going to do. So,
yeah, resisting is building your own like small community and you know, knowing someone who's a butcher, someone who's into gardening, knowing someone who knows how to actually make something with their hands, so you don't have to rely on some manufacturer.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and we can all figure. I mean, I figured out how to do everything out here on my own and watching YouTube and stuff like that. We can all figure it out. Like that's the there's so many people have a block that they can't do things, and we all can. We're all like so much more significant and important and brilliant, more than they'll let us know. And
but I've been discovering how difficult it is to build a community who are all on the same page. Like, you know, it's very difficult to get three people to have a ham radio where we were all on the same frequency.
So yeah.
If the grid goes down and we don't have cell phones anymore, or if we don't want to be tracked, you know, I can't even get three people to like agree on a damn frequency.
Yeah. Well, keep trying, Mikey. We've had you for an hour and a half. We'll respect the time and get you out of here, man. But we really really appreciate it. We should get you back on to do with my other co-host, and we'll do a whole Earth Shape episode, and maybe get a bunch of people on to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a whole other topic.
Yeah, Deborah's. I make fun of her and say that Deborah's a flat earther. I think she, dude. We had David Weiss on. It was like our 17th episode or something like that when he was doing his little press tour like a year and a half ago, and trying to sell his Flat Earth app, which is a great app. I don't like it when people like say like, oh, he just goes on shows and tries to sell his app. This dude, his app is $3, you know.
Who
cares that he's trying to sell something? Like, bro, I'm trying to sell t-shirts and get people to give me money for value you know. But he gifted Deborah that app. And it sends you like a video every day. And she had to stop watching because it was starting to make too much sense. So,
well, you know what? I love this logo right here, because this was actually
the UN,
published.
The UN logo.
Yeah, it was published in the National Geographic in 1961, the September issue. And for up until NASA was created in 1958, everybody knew that the Earth was flat. I mean, there was a growing debate that had been going on for about 100 years. And it wasn't until the public education system taken the education system away from the Catholic Church that they were able to change their curriculum.
It's funny, so, because in 1958, I think that's probably when would have been when Deborah was in kindergarten.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. Absolutely.
You're the first generation of globe earthers, Deborah.
So up until then, I mean, there was hardly any debate at all. It was just everybody knew that was the world is flat. But when they sent people into the moon, I mean, it changed the entire perspective of the world. And like, they were pushing science fiction like crazy.
Yeah.
And so it was hard to deny it anymore, because the groupthink was expanding and everybody was like fantasizing about space. I mean, I was one of those people. I love space. I was a big, huge NASA fan. And, you know, it took a long time for me to realize, like, oh shit, we have been lied to, and like, all of this is fake, and it's all a money grab. It's all about mind control. It's about making the world so expansive and so huge that, you know, that God couldn't possibly exist.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah. Tell everybody about KGUP.
You can find most of my listeners, they kind of listen to the podcast. So you can find my show on KGUP Presents, just on any platform, pretty much anywhere. If you can't find me on your platform, just, you know, message me at www.kgup1065.com, or you can message me on Instagram. Like, I don't post a lot because I hate social media, but I'm there. I like everybody's like conspiracy stuff, and I support all the podcasters. I mean, on my website I have all the podcasts that I love and support and listen to on a daily basis. I love listening to audio podcasts. I don't have to watch anything.
Yeah, I just realized I was supposed to send you a picture for your website. I'll send it over. Sorry, I forgot.
Cool.
But yeah, thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. We'd like to talk to you again. And yeah, everybody go out and support Mikey and his show. And yeah, thanks for everything, man.
It was great meeting you both.
Yeah, let's talk soon, bro.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.